We enter into a time of Lent, and we're shifting into a time of speaking about the battle we are in. We talked about the war of words that we find ourselves in last week. We talked about whether we would listen to Christ or not, and what that might look like. And today we move into a series where we focus on the armor of God and the battle we are in. Listen to these words again from Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And skipping down. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the evil day comes, you are able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Notice the theme there? Standing. And then again, stand firm then with the belt of truth. This Lent, we're going to focus on standing in Christ. We speak of living in Christ here at Life on the Vine and how we're going to focus on that for this whole year, living in Christ. And to do that, we must stand in Christ and his mighty power. The Lord be with you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we rejoice in your great and mighty power. We rejoice that you're at work in the world, that you are saving us, you are rescuing us from the kingdom of darkness and leading us into the kingdom of light, that you have the power to break all chains and to defeat all lies. We ask by your Spirit that you would be with us now. You would open our hearts and minds to receive your word. In your name we pray. Amen. Eric said that we are on a time of pilgrimage during this Lenten season, but it is not a pilgrimage of punishment, but a pilgrimage of preparation. Our time of Lent is not a time of punishment where we punish ourselves for all of our sins. Oh, coffee without sugar. So hard. That'd be like having coffee without cream for me. But, right? But Lent is not a time of punishment. It's a time of preparation. A time of preparation, of being intentional, of planning, of focusing, of not taking things for granted. It is not a time of merely binding the flesh, but of building up faith. And just like Jesus' time, when he spent those 40 days in the wilderness, he was first filled with the Holy Spirit in his baptism, and then the Spirit drove him out into the wilderness for 40 days. He was filled with the Spirit, but then after the 40 days, what does Luke tell us? He says, Jesus, full of the power of the Spirit, went to Galilee. So even though Jesus was filled with the Spirit of Christ, anointed as the Son of God, he had a time of trial, of testing, of preparation, and only then is that Spirit to have said to have been powerful in his life. And so Lent is a time of entering into the power of Christ in ways that maybe we don't know about yet. And so when we hear in Ephesians 6, Verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. We are reminded that even Christ himself had to enter into a time of preparation to receive this power and to live in that place. And so today, we must remember to stand in Christ, who is the truth. Stand in Christ, who is the truth. So why do we need all this preparation? Why do we need to prepare? Is it because it's good for us? It's because we like planning. Some of us love planning. Other of us, not so much. Why? Amen. I heard the amen over here. That was an echo from my own mind. Amen. The truth is as we talked about last week, we are in a battle. We're in a war. Things are difficult. Things are out to get you. It's not all in your head, although it kind of is.
Things are out to get you. And so Paul is telling those in Ephesians to put on the armor of God so that you might stand against what? The devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. A struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers, rulers, and authorities of this present dark world.
Many times we forget where we are. We forget who the real enemy is. We think it's our coworkers, our children, our relatives, our in-laws.
But they are not the real enemy. We forget that we are in a spiritual conflict.
And this is particular to the West. The West has forgotten the spiritual conflict. But the West in the last 300 years, 400 years, has forgotten the spiritual conflict. Anthropologist Paul Hebert says that the West lives with this idea of the excluded middle. You see, most of the rest of the world, for most of the rest of the time, kind of believed in three realms, right? There's the earthly realm, there's our lives, you know. There's us, there's what I eat this morning. You know, there's my house, my kids, and things like that. There's this earthly realm. And then there's the top level, which is like God, the ruler of all things, above all things. But there's really this middle level, which is what Paul here calls powers, principalities, rulers. Others call them demons or angels, ancestors, other gods. Just spiritual powers that are at work in people's lives. Now, most of the world takes this middle realm for granted. They understand that there's some sort of spiritual realm. Something's happening there. But we in the West, you know, with science, you know, our more of our naturalistic mentality, we kind of get rid of that. We've demythologized it. And we think to ourselves that there's really just us, humanity, and God. And oftentimes, God is quite mysterious, right? A little bit elusive, and he probably just wants us to be nice to each other. And so if we would just be nice to each other, then everything would be good. Sin, of course, gets in the way of being nice, and so God sent Jesus in the Spirit to help us get over our sin problem, our not-niceness problem. And once that happens, then we can get back to functioning with us and with God. But the truth is, that's not reality. That is not reality. The truth is we're forgetting a whole bunch of other things that are directly opposed to God and his kingdom.
Directly opposed to God and his kingdom. And so Paul he's explicit. He says, put on the armor of God so that you can make your stand against what?
The devil's schemes or strategies. And his strategy right now in the West is to make us think he's not around, that he's not really doing anything.
The scheme of the devil is to have us forget that he's there. Of course, in many of our great songs that we sing here, A Mighty Fortress, we're actually going to sing later. But another song, Our Great God, the second verse says these things. We sing this here regularly. Lord, we are weak and frail, helpless in the storm. Surround us with your angels, hold us in your arms. Our cold and ruthless enemy, his pleasure is our harm. Rise up, O Lord, and he will flee before our sovereign God.
Of course, we won't be singing that during Lent because there's a hallelujah in the chorus. So we're going to put a little time out on that one, right, Eric? This is the tough part about Lent for me is I do a lot of the worship and I always forget. And then Eric's like, are we singing? But
we're good because we buried it. It was amazing. So I think it's going to get in my head.
The law of excluded middle. So I don't know about you, but this is how I was raised. I went to church at a pretty big church in it was Las Gatas Christian Church. It was a large kind of mega church. They actually like broadcast on television the services and things like this. Ooh, this is back in the 80s. And, you know, they didn't talk about this passage at all, right? They didn't talk about the Spirit. They didn't talk about the Holy Spirit. They didn't talk about spiritual gifts or anything like that. It was just like God, you know, is going to come back someday. And then when he does, then it'll be crazy. But in the meantime, like, really, it's just all copacetic, right? So this was like how the pastors preached all the time. But we were also really involved in world missions as a church, like huge. Like we would always, in November, we'd have this huge pledge drive and raise a bunch of money for all these overseas missionaries. And what happens when you support overseas missionaries is you have them come back and tell stories. And what kind of stories do they tell? Crazy ones, right? They do. They tell stories about how they're out in the middle of Africa and other places, and, you know, they're dealing with shamans and, you know, these spiritual forces, and things are walking around their houses, but there's no foot tracks outside the next morning, right? All these stories about this middle realm, the spiritual world that they are engaged in. And so I was raised, I kind of got this, like, I don't even think I realized until much later that those two things did not fit together, right? They just did not fit together. But it was good for me because it exposed me to different stories of the spiritual realm, that there were things going on. And this is something that we need to remember ourselves. And so I'm going to tell a story now because I want us to start giving ourselves permission to remember, know that these things happen. Like, there is this middle realm. There are spiritual forces out. If you ever feel like something's out to ruin your life, you're right. There is. So as I said, I was growing up and I heard all these stories. So then, you know, and I also heard how people were delivered, you know, how about Jesus' name cast out demons and how spiritual forces were confronted by the power of the Lord and things. And so I went off to college, and I went to, which was Santa Cruz, California, which is a very spiritual place. And so I moved into this apartment on Mountain View Street, and I was living with this guy, Eric, and I found the apartment in the want ads, and I was the first guy to show up to interview for it, and he's like, you know what, I hate interviewing people, it is yours. You're the first one, now I'm done. It's like, awesome, right? It's totally cheap, it was great. So I'm there for a couple weeks or a couple months or so. And then one morning, this really happened, right? One morning I woke up and it was still dark. I've shared this with some of you. And I could not move. I was terrified. I don't get that scared very often. Not in real life. I hate scary movies. But like, so I'm just terrified for some reason, right? I'm just laying in my bed. I don't know why. It's dark, but then there's, like, a darkness in the dark. And there's, like, and I don't know, like, I can't move, I can't talk, I can't do anything. And somewhere in the back of my head, my mind was like, remember those missionary stories? Jesus' name is powerful. And I, like, somewhere from the back, like, proclaim Jesus into whatever this is. Proclaim Jesus into whatever this is. I had no category for it. And after, I mean, it felt like forever. At some point, I was finally able to speak Jesus' name out loud. And like the power of whatever that was dispelled in my room in Santa Cruz, California, on Mountain View Street. It went away. And that never happened again, which I was glad for. It was just terrifying. I know I didn't tell it like in a real dramatic way, but it was terrifying. It didn't happen again until I moved. And I moved in with another group of guys from the church I was a part of. And basically, the exact same thing happened again. I woke up terrified, freaked out, could not move, could not speak, just trying to push Jesus' name out to do something. Jesus, do something. So this happens three times when I'm in Santa Cruz. The last place I lived, some men from the church I was at had lived there for like 10 years. Just people would always just turn it over, like the college students. And I didn't have anything. I didn't wake up terrified at that house. And that's when I finally figured out what was going on. Is what was happening. Did I mention this was a very spiritual town that I was living in? This was extremely spiritual, right? Everyone that I worked with had a ghost story, like in their house. Like everyone. All my friends at school, they're like, oh yeah, there's a ghost, blah, blah, blah. And what I figured out was that the presence of Christ and the Holy Spirit in me was pushing out whatever you want to call it, demons, spirits, principalities, that had been in and around the houses that I was now living in. And that I was having what, you know, missionaries would call a power encounter. And that things were having to leave because I was bringing the Holy Spirit into those places.
And this happened repeatedly. And that was kind of like my training, because I was not raised charismatic or Pentecostal or anything, right? I did not have any of these categories. But I had this training of what, you know, some would call spiritual warfare. And I started figuring out the patterns. And when I moved to Illinois, and I went to an apartment building in Wheeling, I told Sid, I was like, this might happen again. And she was like, you're crazy. Well, she didn't say that, but she was a little freaked out. It's like, this might happen again. And, you know, now I was married, right? And so it did happen again in the apartment. And again, these weren't dreams. I mean, they're kind of dreams, kind of not. It happened again, but this time I was more confident, right? Good for Jeff. I was like, yeah, because I love a good battle, right? So, this time I wasn't freaked out, and I was ready, and I could, like, speak, and I was, like, pretty confident. I was like, you need to get out of here. I was, like, all mad. I pray angry, too. Let me know if you have a prayer request, because then I get angry. I pray angry. And I said, it's like, you need to get out of here. You don't belong here. And literally this demon or this force of spiritual entity said to me, if I can't get you, and then he dove into our bedroom and then grabbed, like, this image of Sid. And it was like, I'll take her instead. I was like, that's not fair. Right. But we're in a battle. And so I want to say that. I want to share those stories here at Life of the Vine out loud for us. Because when we say those, I think a lot of you are probably like,
I got a story just like that. I have stories like that. Right? And if we took a bunch of time to share those stories, we might not end today.
And so the truth is we do live in a battle. We live with spiritual forces. There's something going on. It's not like you just have problems at home. Something's trying to destroy your family. It's not like you just have difficulties at work. Something is trying to destroy your workplace. It's not like you have problems with your body. Something's trying to kill your body and destroy it. These are part of the realities that we live in. So we have to take up the spiritual armor, which is taking up Christ. We have to take up the armor of God. We need to stand in Christ. And so the first one is truth. The first one is the belt of truth. And why do we need to stand or to put on the belt of truth? It's because we live in a world of lies. And I don't want to go over my whole sermon last week, but we kind of covered all these things. We live in a war of words. The devil is constantly trying to distract us. And this kind of happens on three different levels. There's the lies we tell ourselves about who we are and what we can or can't do. There's the lies that we tell about each other, tell about the communities we live in. And there's the lies that kind of, you know, happen like all over the world, you know, spiritual deception and bondage and things. And they're all a little bit different. One of the main lies, I'm just going to throw this out here. One of the main lies, I don't want to spend too much time on the lies, right, because it's the truth that we want to get to. But I think one of the main lies that we face in this world that is part of the strategies or the schemes of the devil is to say there is no truth. Or is to say what you feel is the truth. Is that what you feel is real is one of the strategies at work in our world. You can be the standard of truth. There is no truth except for what you feel, think, or say at that moment. Individuals decide what's true. So you're not being manipulated by market forces. You're right? There aren't focus groups that are making you decide what to watch, a.k.a. Netflix knows everything you like, right? You know, there aren't other people who are making choices for you. It's just you and what you feel. Your feelings aren't being manipulated by anyone. It's just what you are and what you feel. Or maybe this. You aren't giving into your most basic impulses or selfish desires. You're just being true to yourself. Right? We hear this all the time. We're constantly told that what I desire is probably good and true for me right now. And that to question that, certainly don't question that of someone else. Oh my goodness. If you want to step in it, question someone else's truth. Right? So this is one of the lies that we live in now. I'd just like to put out before all of us that you are all paranoid schizophrenics. I'm not a doctor, but I play one on Netflix when I watch it. But you are all paranoid schizophrenics. I know this because we all basically live in fantasy lands regularly. We all guess at what other people are thinking about us. We are constantly telling stories about what someone's look meant about us. We are constantly telling stories about our bosses and whether we are not or are not getting a raise and things like that. We walk into a room, even like this, and we're like, that person doesn't like me. That person is fake, right? We create this fantasy land, and then we come to, you know, they're attacking us. They're manipulating my life. They're doing something to me. And these are all fantasies, in one sense, that we live into that are just barely connected to truth. Just barely connected to truth. And how do I know that? Because most of us never check it out with someone else. Because when we do, we find out we're usually totally wrong. Hey, what did you mean by that when you said that? Oh, I don't, what? Like, I was running late. I didn't even know you asked me something. Right? And you spent 3 days thinking he was angry at you. Right? When we check out things. All right, so I don't want to go into, I'm not going to go into all the lies. Because what we need to do is we need to stand in Christ, who is the truth. So this is the goal. This is where we're going. So we need to kind of be aware of the schemes of the devil. But we need, more than anything, to stand in Christ, who is the truth. We need to turn to Jesus, who is the truth. Jesus, the true Word of God, the Word of God who never fails. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we need to, in a sense, put on Christ. We need to put off our old self and put on Christ. We need to put off death and deception. We need to put on life and truth. We need to put off the old self and put on Christ. This is our baptismal formula that we go through every year. We need to learn how to speak truth to ourselves. I think this might be the hardest one. Can we learn to speak truth of ourselves? We actually had a great start with bearing the Alleluia, speaking truth of where we're at. And speaking truth of ourselves is actually a practice of humility. See, sometimes we can be prideful, and other times we can be falsely humble. Both are different ways of lying about ourselves. When you're proud, you think you're awesome at everything. You tell lies about how good you are. You might exaggerate who you are. You might exaggerate your accomplishments. You might be sure to pick out the things that you're better than other people. You try to say more than the truth of yourself. Some people don't struggle with that at all. They're like, I don't live in that world at all. You live in the other world of false humility. I'm good at nothing. I'm terrible at everything. Nobody wants to be around me. I don't have anything to offer. Nobody would want me to help. Which is patently not true, right? We live in the body of Christ. You're all gifted. You're all needed. And so speaking the truth of yourself is sometimes saying, I'm good at something. I have a word to say. I can do that. And so humility is actually speaking the truth of yourself, not being too low, not being too high. Can we speak the truth of ourselves? Can we speak the truth of others? Can we offer blessings and not curses to others? Can we use to build people up and move them forward rather than relying on our prejudices, our biases, our other mentalities that create divisions between us and them? And can we speak the truth to the world? Speaking the truth in love is incredibly difficult, right? Everyone falls off the horse on one side or the other, truth side or the love side, not learning how to do both. This is why it's called a battle, right? This is why it's tough. This is why we need preparation, is learning how to live in the truth. We stand in Christ, who is the truth, in order to stand against the schemes of the devil. So you might be asking, Jeff, how do I listen to the truth? How do I do this? Well, I'm going to say the same three things I say every time people ask me that. So here we go. Actually listen to him. Dare to listen to Jesus. Jesus wants to speak to you right now. In maybe practices of prayer, of journaling, even the way that we were doing this litany, Jesus was speaking to me, bearing the Alleluia. Are you taking the time to find Jesus and to actually listen to him? Do you have the tools necessary to listen to him? If not, come talk to me. Come talk to other pastors. Find someone who can help you. Are you listening for the truth in Scripture? Are you listening to God's Scripture? Are you immersing yourself in the Bible so that when you are listening for Jesus, like I was just telling you to do, you can have confidence to say, this does sound like something Jesus would really say? Because you're checking that against his life regularly. You're checking that against the things he did say and the things he did do. Are you listening to him in Scripture? Of course, Jesus even relied on Scripture himself in the wilderness. He who was truth didn't say, I'm the measure of truth. I'm going to rely on what God has already said, what God has already given. Immerse yourself in Scripture. And lastly, listen to Jesus, who is the truth, through others. Through others who are listening to him, right? That's the key point. Test with them what you are thinking is true. Hold on to what is true. Reject what is false. We call this testing, discernment, mutual submission, and other things. Are we testing with other people? Hey, like this is happening in my life. I feel angry about it. Am I seeing that right? Or am I just stuck in my head? We need to ask those things of people. Hey, I'm feeling real riled up about this thing. Like, should I be? Is that okay? Or maybe I'm really confused about this. Or I've come to this decision. You know, do you think it's true? What do you think I should do? Listening to others who are listening to Christ. Will you stand in Christ, the truth, amid this battle? We're going to sing the song, A Mighty Fortress, in just a minute, but I want to read the words from the third verse. It says, and though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. For one little word shall fell him. His doom is sure, for one little word shall fell him. And what is that word? That word is Christ. That word is the truth. I feel like I should have started off the sermon with a disclaimer or a warning. Like, everything I just told you means you have a giant target on you. And now you've just been thrown in. You know, like in The Matrix, for those of you who've seen it, you know, like Neo has a choice to either take the blue pill. I forget which one it is. There's one pill that makes him go back to sleep and forget everything. The other pill means he, like, wakes up and, like, enters into the battle. Blue or red, I forget. Right? But the fact is there's no option for you to swallow a pill or not. Like, this is our reality. You're in the battle. And so, entering into this time of Lent, we're going to be peeling back the layers of these schemes, and we're going to be talking about different ways of living in Christ. But because we're going to do that, just letting you know, this week is going to be really crummy for all of you, probably. Right? You're just going to find out how bad the battle is. When Sid started preaching here several years ago, everything bad would always happen on the Sundays when she would preach. For 2 or 3 months in a row, it was like only the Sundays she was preaching would kids get sick. One time our well pump, because we're on well water, broke. And then the guy who was fixing the pump broke the well cap off. So then he had to dig it up and replace it. So we were without water for like 7 days. And then to top it off, another day she was preaching, there was an abandoned car in our front yard. And so there's just like, so I'm just putting it out there. This is as we push into this preparing, this preparation in Lent, things might get a little crazy. And that's just the reality that we're in. Amen? Okay. So let me pray for us, and then we'll enter into a time of prayer. So there's no prepared prayer statement
So let's just enter into a time of just submitting to Christ, maybe the different lies that we tell ourselves or our hope for truth that we would like to live into. Ending by saying, Lord, in your mercy, and then all saying, amen.